Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. This is, I think it's episode number 121. Monday, December 12th, 2016. Not a day we normally record Random Chatter. And in fact, we just did Random Chatter recently with the movie draft. But, you know, we were going to... Normally, we would do Echo Base this week. December's always kind of a mess with the holidays and everything. And then last year, they decided to release a Star Wars movie. And then this year, they decided to release a Star Wars movie. And next year, they're deciding to release a Star Wars movie.
How dare they?
I know, right? It's so inconsiderate. So next Thursday, or I'm sorry, this coming Thursday. This coming Thursday, we're going to go see Rogue One. And that's normally the night we would record Outer Rim and Random Chatter. But we thought, well, why don't we talk about Rogue One then? So we're moving one of the shows up. So because we just did Random Chatter already, we thought this would be a great opportunity to do Outer Rim. So I'm looking through the show notes here. And here are some things that I thought would be the type of things that we would grab for Outer Rim. I'm just going to scroll through the various stuff I've thrown into a folder here. How to add a Bluetooth controller to the NES Classic Edition.
Because that's important.
Powerless, the DC show that's coming from NBC. It's a mid-season show, I think, so it should be starting pretty soon. It's a bunch of insurance adjusters set in the DC universe, but like they handle the insurance claims from when, you know, Superman's in a fight and six buildings in downtown Metropolis get, you know, crushed to the ground and people are pissed off, etc. Well, now they're changing it. It seems like they're changing basically the whole premise. Instead of working for an insurance company, they're now going to be working for the R&D department at Wayne Enterprises. Let's see, what else do we have? Man spends $1 million in stolen funds on Game of War. DirecTV Now had an outage in its second week. Okay, whatever. Top 10 must-have gifts for Xbox One gamers. Not necessarily. The title of this article was such, but an AI writes a bad Christmas song. In fact, you know, I could probably play that. But like this is the kind of stuff that we've got for this week for Outer Rim. Not the best selection of stuff. So I thought, well, we'll actually just do another episode of Random Chatter instead. Now I'm going to start playing this. You guys have to tell me if this comes across the audio here. This is the... Can you hear that?
Barely.
Okay, so I'll just read it. Lots to decorate the room. The Christmas tree is filled with flowers. I swear it is Christmas Eve. I hope that is what you say. The best Christmas present in the world is a blessing. I've always been there for the rest of our lives. 100 and a half hour ago. I'm glad to meet you. I can hear the music coming from the hall. A fairy tale. A Christmas tree. There are lots and lots and lots of flowers.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's what happens when you let an AI write your Christmas music for you. So, Chris, next time you do Chordcast, I think we've got our material there.
Yeah, that'd be a good like intro or something.
Yeah, it's pretty horrible. So I thought we would do another random chatter. A couple of things we could talk about here. But first, I almost kind of want to vent a little bit about the movie draft.
Uh-oh.
Vent?
Well, I didn't get to participate.
That's your own fault.
I know, but I thought I could trust you guys.
To what?
To not let Derek sweep the whole dang thing.
He's not going to.
How many movies did Derek end up with? Like all of them?
Eight or something like that. Okay. He's not going to sweep the whole dang thing.
All right.
I just don't, you know, I don't see it. No, it's not going to happen.
Okay.
And according to him, he's not going to win. So he's done all the research. So.
Yeah, he did say.
He did a lot of research.
He's going to finish third, I think he said.
All right, any predictions on who will win?
think I'm going to win. Chris, do you think you're going to win?
You also think that Rogue One's going to make less than 100 million opening weekend.
Yeah.
Chris, who do you think's going to win?
Ask me in just like 2 minutes because I kind of forgot the bids.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a good point, I guess.
Okay. Actually, so I'm looking at the bids right now.
Okay.
So for our audience, Chris has Passengers, Lego Movie, Lego Batman Movie, and Power Rangers. Derek's got Assassin's Creed, Amityville: The Awakening, Monster Trucks, Resident Evil, The Great Wall, Rock Dog, Life, and Chips. Joel's got Rogue One, Sleepless, and Kong, Skull Island, which I think Joel might be positioned pretty good here. Carrie has Why Him, Triple X, Return of Xander Cage, and Logan.
Lou's Triple X will do well.
Yep. Lou's got Sing, Underworld, Blood Wars, 50 Shades Darker, Patient Zero, Ghost in the Shell, and Nate has The Founder, Split, The Space Between Us, John Wick Chapter 2, Beauty and the Beast.
I think Joel will win it simply because I think Rogue One has the potential to do more than everyone is thinking. And I think also Kong has potential to do better than people are thinking.
The fact that he, unless Kong bombs.
Yeah.
I mean, he has Rogue One, and then he has a solid tentpole to go along with it. And that's all he needed. He's only got three films.
Right.
But
and that's Rogue One will do respectable in the long run, because it's one of the few movies that will stay in the theater longer than most.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, most movies are, you know, 3-4 weeks, they're done. Rogue One will be there until probably the end of January, at least, probably end of February.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm really surprised that Rogue One was not the highest bidded film on the movie draft.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised.
I mean, had the highest. You know,
I still don't think Rogue One is going to do as well as everybody thinks it's going to do.
Lou, I'm going to be so happy.
Can I say
something? No, I'll be happy if it does. Believe me.
You'll be happy temporarily until I totally rip you to pieces on the podcast. Because I kind of have to.
No. I'm willing to take that because I want it to do well.
Okay.
I just don't think it's going to do well as everybody says.
So here's the thing. Last week, I would have sympathized more with you, Lou. But after seeing some of the early reactions of Rogue One, I kind of am starting to think that word of mouth on this movie is going to be very, very, very big.
Yeah.
Like, more so than The Force Awakens.
Really think so, huh? Okay.
Yeah. I don't think it'll make as much.
So far, people are more positive about this than they were The Force Awakens at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let's see. Rainn Wilson from The Office. First Rogue One review. It was actually amazing, in all caps. Super fun and exciting. Ties in with Episode 4 perfectly. Let's see what else here. Kyle Buchanan, Rogue One, the plotting and objectives are needlessly murky, but the look of this thing is ravishing. Drop the why and embrace the wow. And that was probably the most, negative one.
But no, I mean, there were a lot of good reviews for TFA before it came out.
But there were, but there were also a handful of negative ones, and the negative ones here are like super good. Here's another one. This is from, Kyle Newman. I can't read the whole thing because it's got some obscenities. It's also in all caps. I'll paraphrase. Holy crap. Rogue One is spectacular. If you don't see this movie more than once, you suck at life. here's one from Donald Trump. Women love this movie. And I know women. Women everywhere love this movie. Mexicans too. And I know Mexicans. And they love this movie. I'm kidding. Okay. I'll stop the political stuff.
I just, I hope it does really well. I just don't think it's going to be as big as everybody's projecting it to be. I mean, everybody's putting up in this Will tier Wheaton. Where it's in the top two or three movies of the year for opening weekend and the top, two or three movies of the year.
Kevin Smith is saying,
big, strong thing to ask for.
It's as good as Empire Strikes Back. Will Wheaton says the last time he loved a Star Wars movie this much, it was 1977. See, that's the thing. It's not just that it's positive. It's that people are like, holy crap, I can't believe this thing is this freaking good.
Right. Mm-hmm. But these are not critics saying that. These are fans.
Yeah, let me tell you, Will Wheaton does not criticize anything. He's always a positive guy, let me tell you. That was sarcasm.
You know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying. I know. But since when have critics stopped Star Wars from doing well in the box office anyway?
No. I'm not saying they didn't stop that. I'm just saying it's not going to be that huge of a movie. I mean, it's going to be good. It's going to be well worth Joel spending $50 on a movie draft.
Okay. Well, that's a discussion we're going to have in about 4 days. 4 or 5 days. All right.
I have something else I'd like to say that's kind of, it's not related to Star Wars, but
okay.
It kind of has to deal with the movie draft. So
okay, good.
I was looking at the upcoming movies on Rotten Tomatoes, and I was looking at a few of them, and I saw that one of them was called Solace. And right now it has a 25% from Rotten Tomatoes. Problem is, or the reason I'm bringing this up is because I'm pretty sure I had that in a movie draft from either the first or second one.
I'm pretty sure you did. Yeah.
And oops. It's just now coming out and it's probably terrible. So
you can add that back to your other movie draft.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. That's okay, because it's going to happen this time, too. Wait until Joel finds out that Kong Skull Island is getting pushed back to the fall.
Yeah. That always happens.
Yeah. And half of Derek's movies. Anything that you bid, like, less than 10 on, anything that's a single-digit bid, seems to have a 50% chance of getting pushed right off the draft.
Yeah, well, you're going through his list of movies, and I was cringing at some of the titles he has there, and I forgot how bad some of them were and why we let him have them, like, monster trucks for whatever he spent for them. Like, that's going to make like $1 million.
Yeah, but he bid 7. So that would still be a better ratio than half of the stuff that I bid on in the last movie draft or two.
Just because you had Hardcore Henry, which I still haven't seen. I need to see that.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I actually own it and I haven't seen it yet.
That's pretty bad, Eric.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so if you haven't already checked it out, listen to Random Chatter episode 120. That's the movie draft. And in the show notes at randomchatter.com, in fact, if you go straight to randomchatter.com/RC-120, in all lowercase, that'll take you straight to the page. There's a link that will take you over to randomchatter.com/moviedraft. And there are instructions there if you want to participate. Some people have already sent in some submissions. We're going to update it there in the spreadsheet. And based on these winning bids, you can participate. You have 100 credits, and you purchase the movies you want at the winning bid prices. So, for example, we said Derek had Monster Trucks at 7. If you want Monster Trucks in your list, it would cost you 7. Lego Batman movie is going to cost you 51, etc. So you select the movies up to a total of 100 credits. And we'll put you in the spreadsheet and we'll see how it goes. So, I've got a topic for us. I don't want to talk about Rogue One, but we should probably bite our tongue. We're going to be talking a lot about Rogue One pretty soon here.
Before we get into this, I have one more thing I want to talk about.
Okay.
Westworld.
Now,
how far in are you?
You can't talk too much about Westworld. But yeah.
I don't want to do any spoilers because obviously.
Oh, I want to do spoilers.
We can do a spoiler episode.
We
like
should
later.
Yeah, we should. Lou, have you seen it?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we should do like a Westworld wrap up.
Okay, because I want to talk about it like in probably more than excruciating detail. I'd just like to say that it was good. Definitely worth the hype that I heard about it. A little confusing once I got near the end, like the last two episodes, but I'll take it.
I thought it got less confusing in the last two episodes.
No, I'm with Chris. It got confusing, I thought, towards the end.
Okay. Then it sounds like we really need to talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't necessarily the loose ends that were being wrapped up in the storylines coming together or the reveals. That was fine. It was more of some of the pacing of the episodes and the way sometimes it was shot and the order of scenes.
Okay, I can kind of see. I think we're talking about the same thing, too, because my complaints were, not really complaints, but my issues were, you know, same character on screen in two different time frames, I guess.
Yes, exactly. Like,
okay, let's not say anything else, though.
Yeah, no, I won't. Yeah, no. But I so need to buy that soundtrack, too, on iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to get all those songs on player piano tracks for my listening pleasure.
It's let's go ahead and do an episode on Westworld. I think that could be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, for the people who haven't seen it yet, you recommend it? Yes.
Oh yeah, definitely. And yes, I'm glad that I binged the show, because otherwise, I feel like it might have been a little harder to stay focused in on what was going on.
Hmm.
And to follow the track of some things.
Yeah. It was nice to have a show that finally has a lot of depth to it. I know a lot of people did not like the end of Lost, the finale. And yes, Lost had problems with it, but there's also a lot going on in Lost, and it was a lot of fun to analyze it as you go along, though it wasn't necessarily required, but you kind of wanted to. And Westworld, in a very, very, very different way, also has a lot going on, and that's why a lot of people are drawing parallels between it and Lost, not because there are necessarily thematic parallels or literary parallels, but because it's one of the first times where we've had a TV show where you really need to jump in and not even that you need to, but just that you can. If you choose to scratch under the surface, there's content there. And that's fun. I miss that kind of TV. That's one of the reasons why I'm excited for The Expanse to come back. And I'm trying to think of any other shows that really had that kind of an element to it since Lost. And I mean, maybe Fringe. The later seasons of Fringe to some extent. And that's it. So that's one of the reasons I'm really excited about Westworld. And I think it presents some interesting sociological questions too. But
I agree.
Yeah, but we'll talk about that. We'll go ahead and we'll do an episode for Westworld, because I think that for the first time in a really long time, something has come along that deserves an in-depth look. So, let's see what else, I feel like there was something else I was going to get to before we jumped into, what I was going to talk about. Oh, today I got to go to, a Microsoft store. I say I got to go to Microsoft, like I got to go to Disney World. I had to go to an Apple store to, have my watch serviced, and I thought, well, you know, I had to drive an hour out here and I've got to drive an hour back. The appointment took 5 minutes. Might as well walk up and down the mall. So there's a Microsoft store, and I just recently for Christmas, as an early Christmas present, I got an Xbox One, and so I thought, well, I'll browse in and see what they've got, and started talking to one of the salespeople there. And did a VR demo. And this is the first time I've ever gotten to do VR. Now, their HTC Vive was not working because Windows, you know. And I'm sorry, I had to get a Windows jab in there. But I got to try the Oculus Rift and got to try Minecraft and got to do a little, I don't want to say stationary, but a non-interactive VR demo that they had. And I have to say, I was more impressed than I thought I was going to be. And I put it through, I didn't spend a lot of time on it, but I put it through every test that I could come up with as far as things I've heard complaints about, like the motion sickness and the lag and things like that. If you don't know, the PS4 version of VR, the PSVR, I guess, it's not 1080p. And it's cheap. It's affordable. And that's why it's the best-selling VR system right now. It's easy to get. But I've not tested that one out, so I don't know how it tracks against this. But for the Oculus Rift, this was running on a $899 computer, an Acer, I think. And I strapped the headset on as tight as I comfortably could to make sure it was not going to fall off of my head. And then I just whipped my head around back and forth as hard as I could. Not a moment of lag, which really shocked me. And this was 1080p. And Minecraft, the Minecraft interface, I think, adds a little bit to the motion sickness thing. I didn't really have motion sickness issues until I started weaving through a whole bunch of dense trees, chasing after a pig that I was trying to club to death, basically. But where you turn your head has nothing to do with your movement. So you can turn your head and look around, but your body is still pointing where it was. So if you want to actually turn your character, you then have to use the Xbox controller to turn your character. And then in doing so, it kind of messes with your head a little bit. So it's almost like you've got two different directional controllers going at once, one being your head and one being the actual controller. And if you do a lot of quick moving around in densely packed areas, then yeah, I was able to force myself to get some motion sickness. Which I highly recommend everybody do. It's a great hobby. Forcing yourself to get motion sickness. It's good. Anyway, so it was, if you get a chance to stop in a Microsoft store and try a demo, if they have one available, I think it's worth your time to check it out. I was adequately impressed. Like, I think that while the game availability isn't here yet, the technology is finally adequate. So.
Good to know.
There's my little mini review.
Sweet.
So I want to ask you guys something. We talked before, a long time ago, about a Kickstarter by, I think it was the guy that created Napster, who was going to introduce a set-top box for about $100, $150, where you could get movies on the release date in the theaters in your home.
Oh, right. Yeah.
For about $50 or something. And we talked a little bit about it. It didn't really seem to go anywhere, and there was a lot of pushback within Hollywood. But there were a lot of supporters, too, like big-name supporters, and there were big-name pushbacks. So we didn't really hear too much more about it, but now we are getting rumblings that iTunes may be offering movie rentals 2 weeks after the debut in the theaters.
Really?
Yes. Huh.
2 weeks, huh?
This is a thing. Like, this is... it's not the ink is not on the paper yet, but it's that close. Like, it's probably actually going to happen.
So how much?
That's the question. I think that's the final negotiating thing. Like, they've got everybody on board with the different studios and stuff, and people are agreeing to it. It's just a question of the price. The price is supposedly going to be between $25 and $50.
Per movie?
Per movie, per rental. Now, keep in mind, this other system that was being looked at, I think it was like you could rent it for the weekend or something. I'm not sure on the details. It was almost more of a proposal at that point. iTunes rentals. When you purchase a rental, you have 30 days in which to start watching it. And that means if you hit play and you play 1 second of it and then immediately pause it, the clock is ticking. Once you start playing it, you have 24 hours.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you finish the movie all the way through, your rental is done. If you get all the way up to where the credits begin, you can pause it. You can rewind it back to the beginning again. So in theory, as long as you don't complete the movie, you can rewatch it as many times as you want in that 24 hours. Lou, are you torturing your cats again?
No, weather's changing and my cat is just freaking out here. So,
okay. Wow.
That sounds not good.
Yeah, no, we've got evidence, dude.
I'm not doing a thing to her, really.
I don't know, Your Honor. It says right here in the audio that he said he wasn't doing anything.
Oh, gosh. Sorry about that, folks.
No, that's quite all right. I'm all about torturing. I'm not about torturing cats. I better not say that because somebody, this is the internet and somebody will take me seriously.
That's right.
So this is apparently going to be a thing. Now, there are a lot of questions. Where to begin? So there are the people who don't like going to the movie theaters because the people are kicking the back of your chair. People are talking, people are using their cell phones, even though they're in theory no longer using their cell phones anymore in theaters, but people still do. People bring their 3-year-old children to a 10 PM showing of an R-rated horror movie and think it's okay. And then when the 3-year-old starts screaming because blood and gore is flying all over the screen, the parent waits 30 minutes before taking him out of the theater because they paid good money for this movie. They're not getting up just because their kid is having like a total nightmarish panic attack in front of them. Because, I mean, hey, who cares about kids? The price, the concessions. Some places you have to pay for parking. You may or may not have to pay to get a babysitter, etc. And now with the proliferation of home theaters, now you have 4K televisions. You have high dynamic range televisions. You have high-speed streaming internet, etc., etc. You've got a comfortable couch, I hope. You can make whatever kind of food you want. If you want to have more of a social event, you can invite friends over and you get to pick and choose who's there. And if you need to take a bathroom break, you can pause the movie. Like, in theory, there's more convenience there. But then on the flip side, you're missing out on the event of the experience of getting out, going to a theater, seeing on a massive screen. With a sound system that I don't care who you are, this is better than what's in your house, unless you're Michael Bay. And I have to think that Michael Bay just like sets off real explosions like behind the screen during the movie just because he can because it's Michael Bay. So there are two different camps here that are kind of diametrically opposed. But then there's a third camp here too that is introduced here. If you've got, my brother-in-law loves to see movies, but it's him and his wife, and he's got 3 kids. So now there's 5 of them. If you figure $12 a ticket, that's $60. So right there, if they rent it at home, they're saving money.
Right.
They'd have to wrangle the kids to get them in the car. They'd have to drive somewhere. All of the kids are going to want concessions. Try taking kids to a movie and not have them get concessions. That's not a thing. That doesn't exist. So he's probably dumping another $40 in concessions. That's $100. Plus you've got, you know, whether or not there are other people around and bugging you and things like that. The 20-minute drive for them to get to a decent theater nearby. So in that scenario, it kind of seems like a godsend. And we talked a little bit about this before too. If you've got a lot of kids, this gives you a chance to screen the movie first, but then B, to save money on the actual ticket. And then finally, my son goes to bed about 8 or 8:30. I can watch whatever I want after that. But I can't leave the house. Not legally, at least. So, in theory, it might be a benefit for me, too. But then if it's just me and my wife, I don't know that $50, like $25, I could do. $50? I don't know. That seems a bit much.
Well, I mean, you know, like you said, if it's a couple and the kids and the food, yeah, that's worth it. But, you know, the other side of that, if you can't get out to the theater with kids and you can't make that trip, maybe it's worth it to pay the money to stay home and watch it. I mean, you said it yourself, you can't leave the house legally, so.
Right.
It's either house you arrest. Go illegally and spend $12 on a movie, or you stay home and spend $50 on a movie and not break the law.
Yeah, well, not just not break the law, but the house doesn't get trashed by my 7-year-old son who wakes up and realizes he's in the house alone. And I mean, I don't want to traumatize
my
kid.
Some part of me thinks this is more about, you know, what the theater experience is going to be or should be in the future versus what it was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's drastically changed. I went for the first time back to one of the old theaters in the area here. I shouldn't say old, it was a fairly new theater, but you know, the old style stadium seating, regular seats. And I got there and I sat down and went, oh, I used to think this is a really awesome place to see a movie. And now it's just, it feels horrible after sitting in the luxury loungers for the last year.
Well, see, you got spoiled. But, well, you're paying for those luxury loungers too. The ticket prices are higher at most of those places.
Oh yeah, definitely. But you know what? I'll gladly pay a few bucks more to have a nicer experience in the theater.
So here's the thing, though. In the same way that the theaters are getting better, like you just described, a lot of home theaters are getting better, too.
Oh, yeah.
Dolby Atmos.
I count myself among that crowd. I have a nice 7.1 surround sound system.
Yeah.
And
I know.
I
when you're not home, I sneak into your place and watch movies there because it's much better than what I've got. Chris, if you ever come up to visit, I recommend you do the same. It's pretty good. But yeah, so in the same way that the theaters have been improving, the home experience has improved too. So I don't know. I have to think, though, if you're single, if you are a couple and you don't have kids, seems like going to the theater is still the better way to go, though.
So, yeah, but not for every movie. I'm sorry, Chris, go ahead.
I like the positive parts of this, like being able to sit down, dedicate, you know, 2.5 hours of my time to watch a movie. If I want to pause it, I can. I don't have to, you know, worry about if I have to go to the bathroom, then I have to, you know, miss something important. I like that idea of, you know, doing that in the comfort of my own home. But the problem is, and this is coming from someone that the only movie that I saw this year, aside from The Force Awakens, was Now You See Me 2.
Really?
That's it? Yeah. Mainly because I just never had time to go see anything else.
Yeah.
And so that I can see why it's convenient. But like, for someone that's not really in a family situation, or even just a two-person household, that's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And I would rather not see the movie until it came out, you know, on DVD and Blu-ray, or even just digital, than pay, you know, $25, you know, if I'm not going to go to the theater. And it's just, like, I just don't see how this is viable. I see how it's viable, but not for $25. I mean, I could maybe see $25 for a certain movie that I really, really, really wanted to see. But not for, you know, not anything more than that.
Yeah.
For just like, if I just want something to do, you know? I'd rather, you know, find something on Netflix and sit for 2 hours and binge watch a show, you know?
If it were something, like, I could...
I would almost rather pay a larger, like a $50 monthly fee to watch movies on demand, kind of like Netflix, but the catch is that they're all still in theaters.
Yeah, I would pay more than that even.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be the killer app, I think, right there.
But that when you get to the per movie thing, and then you know starting it, and then you know having what 24 hours to finish it, that's ridiculous.
Okay, well let me say this though. Well, first of all, an added benefit there for a select few, if you are doing a movie review or wanting to discuss it on a podcast, it's great because you can pause it, you can, you know, freeze frame and move back and forth frame by frame, and you know, you can find the Easter eggs and things like that. So, I mean, honestly, if I had a way to do that for Rogue One after seeing it in the theater, and like the second viewing I could do at home, I would totally do that. But that's an exception. Yeah, you've only got 24 hours, but in the theater, you've got 2.5 hours. Well, yeah, if you have to go to the bathroom, you just missed 5 minutes of the film. You're not getting back. And again, you're paying at least $12. If you want to do the nice theater, like Lou was saying, you're doing 15, and we'll leave out IMAX and 3D because most people can't do that at home. And it wouldn't be available via rental that way anyway. So 15 for the ticket. If you do get something, because you're probably going to eat something at home while you watch the movie anyway, at least most people will. If you want to do that at the theater, you're dropping on average minimum $10. So you're already at $25 anyway. Now you've actually got 10 times as long to watch it.
Yeah, but there's something to be said for the experience of going to a theater, having your undivided attention focused on that movie. Whereas at home, you know,
I agree.
Even though you're watching it and that's all you're going to do, your attention is still divided. You know, the phone may ring, you know, your cell phone might go off, you might pause the movie. It's nice to be in a theater, and yeah, there are the distractions in the theater, but, you know, as long as everybody's playing by the same rules, you know, my phone's in my pocket, I'm not tempted to pull it out, I'm not trying to send a text message, I'm focused on the movie, and I pay a lot more attention to it than I would if I was at home.
All right, so I think it seems like we're all in agreement that the theater experience in general is better. Are there circumstances in which you would use this service, though? Chris, you just said you got to the theater twice this year. Would this increase the number of movies that you were going to see in that theatrical window if you had the service available?
It would, but not for... it would. I can think of maybe... I'm trying to think of what was released this year.
Doctor Strange, Secret Life of Pets, Tarzan.
What was some of
Captain
the
Captain America
movies?
Civil War?
Jungle Book, Deadpool.
Deadpool was a summer movie that came out in February.
Oh, I did see Deadpool. I forgot.
Of course you did, because you're a human being.
I did see
Doctor Strange, Suicide Squad, Apocalypse,
Suicide Squad,
Star Trek Beyond, Jason Bourne.
Oh, I watched Star Trek Beyond last night, or the night before last night. Yeah.
It would, but maybe for like one or two movies.
Okay. All right. So it would not have a significant impact for you, Chris?
Not at that price point, no.
Okay. Lou, what about you?
I mean, I get to a fair amount of movies as it is.
True.
And I'm also in the camp of, you know, some movies I need to see in a theater, some movies I can see at home. You know, I want to see the bigger blockbuster action type movies on screen, and comedies and some other stuff I can watch, you know, at home when they're on video. Would I be tempted to watch them earlier if they were available at a higher price? Probably not. I mean, they come out on video so quick anyways.
That's the thing, too. If you're paying $25, keep in mind, $25 is the low end of this range. It could be as high as $50.
Right.
But and, in, you know, 3 months, you can buy it for $20.
Buy it for $25, yeah.
For $20.
Yeah. So, yeah, it doesn't make sense to me to see it that much earlier. I mean, I'm still catching up on TV shows from last season. So, you know, if I'm gonna get it early... it's a movie that I want to see in a theater anyways, so I probably wouldn't do it that way. If it was something that I can wait for, I'll wait a few more weeks and see it cheaper.
Yeah. Well,
I think this is really, again, like you were mentioning, Eric, directed to the family that can't really go out and the movies as much as they would want to, and then it becomes cost effective. But even for someone like me, like, I'm by myself. I have few friends that would probably want to see a movie with me. So it's, you know, I usually go to the movie by myself. And even then, it's here, it's like, I think it's like $8 for a ticket. And I sometimes get popcorn or something, but, you know, that's not always. So, I mean, it's not, again, a financial, right. There's no financial reason for me to do this.
Yeah.
Because chances are, if I do this, it's a movie I really want to see. But then I'm going to say, well, do I want to wait 2 weeks and pay more? Or go see it right now?
If you really want to see it, you'll see it in the theater on a big screen. Exactly. And a better experience. Right. Hey, now, you know who else this would pay off for? Anybody under house arrest.
That's true.
That is, you know, true.
They can't leave. They can pay $50, see the movie they want to see. That'd be awesome for them.
Or... if you wanted to have a party at your house, you wanted to invite over, like, I don't know, 8-10 friends.
And you know what you could do?
It's $2.50 a
pop. You could charge them.
Charge everybody a
buck? Yeah, charge them to come over.
Yeah, exactly. So, there are some benefits. I will say that, for me personally, I would probably, and again, depends on the price point. Like Kyle said in the chat here, 25 and 50, that's a big difference.
Yeah,
that's a massive window there. But at the $25 price point, I would tell you I would definitely do it just because, again, like my wife wants to see the Fantastic Beasts movie again. I haven't seen it, and I wouldn't mind seeing it. She hasn't seen Doctor Strange at all. I would like to see it a second time. We're never going to see either of those in the theater because we can't because... we have a hard time. You know, when you've got a child who's special needs, it's not like you can just get the neighbor to babysit.
Right.
Babysitting now is, you know, it's like job hunting. It's that level of, you know, background checks and criminal record and, you know, they have to take an IQ test and multiple interviews and like it's okay, exaggerating a little bit, but the point is it's not as easy as it is for most people. So we just don't go to the theater anymore unless it's like a big event. So I would use this, but then it's really hard because, like we said a few minutes ago, if you can just wait a few weeks and then it's, instead of 25 to rent it, 25 or more, you're spending 19. 14 if you don't care if it's in high def or if it's on sale because it's the first week. So I don't know. It's curious as to how well this is going to end up working out.
I'd like to know if, I know we briefly mentioned earlier, if they did some kind of like streaming service, like, you know, a Netflix style thing where you pay more.
Yeah.
But you have it in, on demand for at least a, you know, specific amount of time. I wonder if it would be more beneficial to people. Yeah, it's a higher price point, but you're probably more likely to get that.
Oh yeah,
extra audience.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd never leave my house.
Yeah,
you kidding me? Even if it was one of those things where you had a selection of movies. And even if it was, you could only watch them one time, but you could see every one of the theatrical releases once, it would still be worth it.
Yep.
So again, I still support the idea of going out to the theater as an event. It's just, you know, I'm in my mid-40s and I've got a kid and it's just not something I can do now like I used to be able to do
right.
a few years back.
I mean, there was a time, you know, high school and college when I was seeing a movie or two every weekend.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't happen anymore, but I do see more than I think most people do. I get out to the theater quite a bit. But, you know, to me, it's still the experience of going to a theater and seeing it in a good theater on a big screen with good surround sound. I mean, right. I'm very happy with my home surround sound system, but it doesn't compete with something with, you know, 50 speakers in a room and a screen that, you know, takes your entire vision up in front of you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's just a nice experience. And now these new theaters where, you know, the chairs are big and you don't notice your neighbor next to you, and, you know, it's, you put your feet up and you don't see the row in front of you. I mean, there's fewer seats in the theater, so it's, you know, they're usually full, but
right.
It's full to the point where you don't have, you know, fighting for the armrest space next to you.
Mm-hmm. So,
and that to me makes it a very nice, comfortable experience. And this, I kind of want to ask this question. When we were getting ready to record Flick Fights the other night, mm-hmm. I came in a little bit late, and you and Nathan were talking, Eric, about movie theater experiences and
yep.
maybe things kind of going back towards a movie palace type arrangement, where it's a nicer theater, you pay a little more for it, it's an event, you get dressed up for it, you go out and you spend, you know, dinner and a movie type thing. Do you think, you really think that's going to be where things are going with movie theaters? I mean, part of this whole thing begs the question to me, what is happening to the movie theaters in general?
Specifically, future? I know that there are people who want that to happen. My mom is a little bit annoyed with me because my sister and I, through my grandparents and through their parents and their parents, have apparently, we each have a really nice set of china that has been handed down. And my mom keeps wanting to know when I'm going to come get it out of her attic. And I'm like, Mom, we don't host big parties. If we did, it would either be a pizza party and we'd be eating on paper plates, or if it was a nicer party, we still wouldn't break out china that's expensive if someone drops it and cracks it. Plus, it, like, stylistically, it's from, what, 200 years ago or something? I mean, come on. Nobody does this anymore. It's 2016. This isn't a thing. The whole idea of, like, the only thing the average person still seems to get dressed up for is church. But it used to be, back in the day, like, you would get dressed up if you went on a flight. Of course, you could also still fit in the seats. But, I mean, that used to be a thing. If you were traveling somewhere, you would get dressed up. That's not done anymore. Now, if you go down a flight, you get the most raggedy, comfortable pair of sweatpants you can find. You wear shoes you can slip in and out of because of security. You get, some people have, like, pillows that wrap all the way around your neck and face and head. Like, it's, people are more concerned about functionality now than they are about appearances, unless you're in that 1%. I hate to do the whole 1% thing, but if, for lack of a better way to put it, yeah, I'm sure there is an audience for people who want to go to a ritzy area to have a nice formal dinner, and you're wearing a suit and tie. You might be underdressed wearing a suit and tie. Maybe even you need a tux, and you go in and you sit in, you know, the whole big theater thing. I mean, kind of like people do for Broadway and stuff, I guess. And that's probably a thing, but also, like, where I'm at in Connecticut, I have about as much access to Broadway shows as I did when I was in Maryland or Virginia. Like, you, well, in the D.C. area, you have the Kennedy Center, and then you have New York, and you have Chicago, and you have L.A.
New York is just a train ride away for you. Come on. You
right.
Can get down there.
And I have that much interest in Broadway shows. But that's the point. Like, it's a very region-specific thing, too. I don't think we're going to go that route. I think what we're going to see is we're going to see, I hope to see, more of the Alamo Cinema and Draft House style dinner and a movie thing incorporated. I think we're going to see more of these. I don't think these motion chair things are really going to pan out.
Motion chair.
Yeah, there's the, I forget what they call them, but you sit in a, like a race car style chair, like something you'd ride in at Universal Studios.
Oh, okay.
And they rock back and forth and move and stuff so that, like, you know, the action scenes and stuff, it feels a little more immersive.
Didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, there are theaters here that have them. The theater you and I went to see The Force Awakens in had them, even though not in the screen we were in, but like the back couple of rows of the theater. The one, you weren't there. Shoot. But like the back couple of rows of the theater, they'll replace them with these chairs that will move around, and there are speakers in the chairs, and they'll tilt and rock okay. and stuff. Kind of like the motion simulators that you may have been in. But the difference right. is, like, let's say you're watching Fast and the Furious, because a race car is something where this technology is very easy to emulate, and it can make you feel like you're in a race car because of the timing of it, you know, jolting back and forth and rocking side to side and such. But the problem is when you're watching a movie, you're often not in the first person point of view. You know, there's a camera coming in from outside the windshield, going, looking through the windshield at Vin Diesel. So, okay, so where do you angle the seat for that? And then when the camera cuts to him speaking to whoever's in the passenger seat.
Yeah.
Well, you can't just like whip the chair 90 degrees to something else because the scene cut real fast. I mean, that just, that doesn't work. So I think that's a little too gimmicky. I don't think it's going to work. 3D is going to continue to be a thing.
Unfortunately.
Well, you know,
but Doctor Strange is yet another example of it done right, and 3D is continuing to get better.
Yeah, I agree. I've never been a big fan of 3D, but 3D just to have the environmental 3D aspect of it is great. When they do the whole, you know, let's point this little pool cue at the, you know, viewer's eye, that annoys the hell out of me. But things I've seen recently is that it's just, you feel more immersive in it.
Yeah. My favorite thing ever is the Harold and Kumar, a very 3D Christmas, where the one of like the tertiary characters was doing something. It's like, and it's awesome. And he throws his hand straight at the camera. And then it stays there for a second. Then it cuts to Harold and Kumar. Like, dude, what are you doing? What is this? Why do you have your hand sticking out like that? You look like a dork. But it was whole, they were making fun of that gimmick.
Right.
Doctor Strange was a good example of how to do it correctly. And I liked it. As much as I generally avoid doing 3D. The Force Awakens in 3D was good. But, yeah, I don't know. Theaters are going to have a hard time. I think really the food services side of it is the way to go. So, I don't know.
Wouldn't mind movies becoming more of an event. I mean, it's kind of inconvenient for me on a personal level, but I think it would be a pretty nice thing to see.
Here's what we're going to do. We've got Chris, you are down in kind of not quite East Coast, but kind of central East Coast-ish area. Nate from the Sabacc Table. Jay from all of the good shows on our network. both live in the D.C. area. I've got family and friends in the D.C. area. Lou, you don't, but you could stay with my family, I guess. We need to kind of conglomerate there around DC and do a random chatter network fan meetup or something. I know we've got some Patreon donors who are in that area. Mike is down in Florida. Probably couldn't talk him into coming up, but you know, there are ways we could probably get some of the regulars to show up too. But one of the things we're going to do, we are going to go out to Winchester, Virginia, to the Alamo Cinema and Draft House, and we're going to see a movie there. In fact, if we get enough people, we'll just rent out a screen.
That would be great, because I've never had any kind of experience like that. Like, I've never even been to a theater that has reserved seating. So
yeah, that's starting to become a big thing too. I don't know how I feel about that. I'm still on the fence, but
If you plan ahead, I am all over it. If you try to go last minute, it's horrible.
See, I
can't always plan ahead.
That guy that is like, hey, I have nothing to do tonight. I'm going to go to a movie.
Yeah.
So
I'm that guy who's like, wait a minute. This is my one night out of the year I've got a babysitter? Crap. What are we going to do? Hurry up. We got to figure out something now. And then by the time we figure something out, it's like midnight. And we're like, oh, I guess there's...
See, and I'm the kind of guy that said, you know, if I'm going to go to the movie, I want to get there a half hour early so I can get my food and get in the seat and get, you know.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I'm just miserable. I'm wavering aside. I'm not in the seat I want to be in.
Oh, no, dude. I'm the guy that shows up like an hour in advance. I'm one of the first five people into the screen. No, I've got it down. No matter what theater it is, at least back in the DC area, that was my, I was the guy you wanted to go with to see the movie. Because I got your back. I'd show up early, got this spot in line, ordered the tickets. That was my thing. But I know most people don't want to spend an hour and a half in line to get to see, Suicide Squad 3, the rest of the story, or, whatever.
And, something else is, I feel like we're getting to the point where movie, and I think this might be why we're talking about, offering these kind of rental services. I think we're getting to the point where going to the movies not only is a chore in of itself, but it's honestly not really becoming worth the money anymore.
Because the movies suck?
Yeah, either the movie is bad or just the experience, not even just the, you got people on their cell phones or people talking or the kid crying or anything like that, but sometimes the incompetence of the staff at movie theaters can be so bad. Like, I went to, I think I told this story before, but when it was, we was probably actually when we were back on the Forcecast network still, I went to see The Force Awakens with a friend, and we went to a theater, and it was like probably 10 minutes before the show was starting. It was packed because it was like, I think it was around New Year's, right after Christmas. So it was still relatively, a lot of people still hadn't seen it yet.
Uh-huh. I mean,
a lot in hindsight. and, we go and we sit down and it's crowded. And then we see this guy come in with this weird looking, like long, almost like a giant poster tube sized package. And he's sitting at the edge of the theater and we're all like freaking out because, we don't know what is in that guy's thing. Yeah. So if somebody goes down and tells the staff and they don't do anything about it, they're like, okay, well, we'll come check it out. Well, they have like one of the ushers walk in. He looks at the guy. He walks around the rest of the aisle and then just leaves. And then nobody ever does anything. So we actually demanded a refund and wanted to leave because we didn't feel safe because of the incompetence of the staff.
Right.
And I mean, it was probably nothing because obviously,
but
we didn't,
you don't risk your life on it,
but
you don't.
Exactly.
And the sad thing is now, knock on wood, 2016 seems to have been an okay year so far. It's not quite done yet, but, 2015 and 2014, there were some theater shootings.
Mm-hmm.
And they were seemingly unprovoked. They were just anywhere. Like there was no, it wasn't only in the big cities or only in certain demographics. It was just anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't know, and you have to be paying attention and vigilant to your surroundings. And hey, if somebody brings in what is obviously a suspicious package,
mm-hmm.
and a poster tube in a movie theater, yeah, that's not something that's common. That is something that is out of the ordinary, and there's no movie that's worth losing your life over.
Exactly.
No. So,
especially when we paid like $10, which for me was a lot of money because I wasn't used to it. So,
the days of living in West Virginia, everything was so much cheaper except the gas. But, there was another topic I was going to, we're already over, we're just creeping up on an hour here. Another thing that's been presented is variable ticket pricing. This is apparently a thing already in Europe. So, Kyle, I'm not going to repeat that joke on the air. Sorry. The chat room is, has figured out that Chris is not in the chat. And so, well, I don't want to spoil it for Chris. Anyway, in Europe.
Now I got to go look.
Yeah, I know. Right. Right. In Europe, apparently it is already a thing where different movies can have different prices set. So, what do you guys think about this? Because no matter what your answer is, I've got the opposite answer.
So you're saying it's different prices for different seats in the theater?
No, no. Not
different prices for different movies.
For different movies. Star Wars, The Phantom Menace might be, you know, $20, and an independent film like Yoga Hosers might be $5.
I wouldn't mind this.
Why?
Because I usually don't see the blockbuster movies. I most of the time would rather see one of these smaller, you know, less hyped films.
Okay.
I mean, I see, you know, Star Wars and occasionally one of the Marvel movies, depending on what it is. But one of my favorite movie experiences was seeing Edge of Tomorrow with Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that might, you might classify that as a blockbuster, but there was literally no one in the theater because the movie hadn't been hyped at all. And yeah, I feel like that might be something. I mean, that's a terrible example of a indie film, but you know, I still think it would, I don't think I would mind this, depending on how you determine what the variable is, you know?
Right. And that's the thing, because, well, Lou, you're in kind of the opposite situation. You, for the most part, focus on the big blockbusters, right? I mean, I know I do.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Okay. Because otherwise, if it's a comedy, do you really need to see it on the big screen?
So, no, I mean, unless it's my wife and I having a date night where we really want to go out and do something out.
Right.
You know, I'll see it at home.
Right. So the question really becomes, in what direction are they going? Are they, if you figure a $12 ticket average, which I think is still what the nationwide average is, $12 for a ticket, does that mean that Star Wars and Captain America and the Avengers and the DC stuff, does that mean that that's 12 and then things like Yoga Hosers is 5? Or does that mean that Yoga Hosers stays at 12 and Star Wars and Independence Day number 16 and all that are now $20. Because the thing is, well, the argument, part of it, I guess, is that it helps the big blockbusters recoup some of their production expenses, blah, 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 because that's what most people go to see, so that's where the money is. But on the flip side, a lot of people don't go to see these independent films, and what it could end up doing, we could start getting people in the seats for some of these other films if they started charging maybe $5 or matinee prices for independent films during prime time. And if that happened, if that became a viable business model, maybe we would start getting more independent films. Better independent films. So this could be a big boon for the industry, for us. In theory. Joel in the chat room, I'm not getting into the whole Yoga Hosers and Canadian dollars thing. I don't remember what the exchange rate is right now, dude. I'm sorry. I used to be able to tell you, but have you guys seen Yoga Hosers? Because it's on Netflix now.
No. It's on Netflix?
Yeah. Yeah, it has been. It is one of my favorite Kevin Smith movies, which is not saying a lot. So, wow, Kyle, cheap shows are $5.87 before noon.
And there's a theater near me that does $5 shows on Tuesday.
Okay, yeah, a lot of them are starting to do that, and I think that's good. But again, that targets a small number of people who are actually able to do that. So
right.
Well, we should probably wrap up the episode here. Anything else we want to cover? Because we're in the middle of December now. This is going to be one of the last random chatters of the year. We'll probably do a Westworld episode.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
Can we say what our favorite movie was of the year?
Absolutely.
Star Wars?
Absolutely.
2016?
Yeah, 2016.
How about we do our favorite, and then instead of worst, we do most disappointing.
Okay, so I'm pulling up a link here to try to get the list. Okay, 2016 film on Wikipedia. Normally, I would have gone to IMDb or Box Office Mojo, but let's see what this does. Awards. Okay, here we go. Wow, this is a bigger list than I kind of wanted. But okay, this will work. All right, I'm sorry. I just wanted to prepare because I would have forgotten almost everything that... All right, so do you have some ideas already, Chris?
I do not. I'm actually looking at the list.
Why did you bring it up? Okay, looking at this, I'm just going to scroll through from January through to now. And I'm going to kind of lightning round this. The Fifth Wave was really disappointing, though I liked the books. Laser Team, disappointing, but for an independent sci-fi film, it was not too bad. 50 Shades of Black, couldn't care less. Still haven't seen Hail Caesar. Deadpool, I'm going to say, big surprise, my movie of the year is Deadpool. And not just because it's Deadpool, but also just... It did the impossible. And
it did. It certainly did.
I think that it deserves the hype it's getting. It's earned the hype it's getting. And it's earned the hyperbole. So that's my pick for the year. Zootopia, I know that wasn't that technically December 2015?
No, that was later. It was definitely 2016.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Zootopia then I thought it was one of the best Disney animated films in a long time. 10 Cloverfield Lane was much better than I was worried it would be. Hardcore Henry disappointed me. It owes me.
It does owe you.
It owes
yes.
me. Captain America Civil War was good. X-Men Apocalypse was horrible. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was probably my most disappointing.
Yeah. And probably the biggest missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Right? It wasn't just that it was disappointing. It's that it could have been so much more. And it failed miserably. So it was disappointing on multiple levels. Neighbors 2 was not nearly as good as Neighbors 1. I did not see Now You See Me 2. Chris, you seem to really like it, though.
I was very surprised with it. That's probably one of my surprises of the year. Because I really enjoyed the first one, and the second one I was, you know, expecting just a rehash, really. But it was fun. I had a good time watching it.
I've still got to see it.
It's funny, I'm looking down through the list of movies on Box Office Mojo. Something that strikes me as being very strange. Sorry, I'm going through this by ranked by dollars.
Sounds like you're going through puberty there. What's going on with your voice, man? You need a drink?
I know, I had to, sorry.
maybe he ate his cat.
I don't hear the cat meowing anymore.
Lou, do you have a fur ball?
120th movie on the list as far as dollars made was under $10 million. That just seems like a big drop off really, really fast. You know, as far as what they brought in, box office gross. I mean, you get to the top 94 movies all made over $20 million. And you got to think that there's, you know, hundreds of movies made every year. And if the top 94 made over 20, the rest of them are kind of really sucking wind.
Yeah.
Versus what they brought in. And that brings up a point of, you know, all these movies that are made, I'm looking at this list, movies that made, you know, $151,000. I'm like, oh, okay. Hope he didn't spend a lot to make that.
Yeah.
I mean, those are movies I've never heard of, but it's definitely the haves and the have nots when it comes to what they make at the box office.
Yeah.
I think my movie, I was looking over the list, and honestly, my favorite is probably Deadpool, just because I was pleasantly surprised with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was going in expecting good things anyway, but I was surprised at how much it was obviously a superhero movie, but it didn't feel really like one.
Right. Mm.
And, you know, now we're starting to see the trend of big action superhero movies. And right. I kind of think that's a bad thing. And it's kind of why I really wasn't interested in, you know, like Civil War or anything like that. I haven't seen that. I'm not seeing Doctor Strange either.
Both really good.
But this one, that one really surprised me. So I think that one, and I think is, of what I've seen, which again is really small, is probably my favorite. And as for most disappointing, I'm going to cheat a little bit and use something that came out in literally the last week of December.
The Force Awakens.
definitely not. And say The Hateful Eight.
I
did not like that movie.
I can say that I've seen many 2016 films that were much worse.
I can imagine.
I see what you're saying about Hateful Eight, though. I liked it better than I'm predisposed not to like it. I don't like Westerns. Tarantino is very hit or miss with me, but I liked it better than I expected to. But I'm probably also, I would share most of your complaints with the film too. So it's, you know.
Yeah. And I did remember that I did see the Magnificent Seven this fall.
Oh, yeah?
And I really, really like that movie.
So I wanted to. I didn't get to see it.
It didn't get, obviously, wonderful reviews. And I'm sure it wasn't the big epic Western that people were really hoping for it to be, but I enjoyed it. It was, for what it was good. And it had Denzel Washington, and I love Denzel Washington. So,
you know, word of mouth on it wasn't bad though.
Yeah. I always heard that it was good and it was fun, but it obviously wasn't like some, you know, award winner, but it was good.
So going down the rest of the list here, just real quick, from June, Warcraft, Bomb Tier did great in China, and I didn't think it was that bad. It wasn't great, but I kind of expected it to do better than it did. Finding Dory, of course, was one of the big ones for the year. Independence Day, I heard, sucked. The Shallows did really well. I'm pretty certain that was kind of low budget. Don't think they paid a lot for that one. The Legend of Tarzan. I'm not sure how that did. I know Jungle Book did phenomenal, but Tarzan I don't think did great. The BFG did not do well. The Purge election year was considered pretty good. The Secret Life of Pets was considered, is all right, but it did really well. Ghostbusters, one of the biggest controversies of 2016. And part of it, just the whole social aspect of having an all-female cast, that got a lot of hate. On the flip side, just the quality of the movie compared to the original. It's kind of hard to match the quality of the original one. This is one of those, no matter what they did, whether female cast leads or otherwise, you're going to have a hard time being as good as the original Ghostbusters. The original still holds up well today. And it's still a classic. It's one of the best movies to come out of the 80s. So, Paul Feig, oh man. I mean, I felt bad for him from day one. And then that, yeah, again, that's aside from the casting issue. And I thought the cast was fine. Ice Age Collision Course, appropriately titled. Star Trek Beyond, like I said, watched that two nights ago. Was good until the third act. And then there were a lot of WTF moments and a lot of me and my wife talking back at the screen. Yeah. Lights Out was supposed to be good. Jason Bourne. Suicide Squad, another big controversy of the year. Oh, we forgot Batman versus Superman. Wasn't that early this year?
Yes.
Yeah. Two big controversial films. What else? Pete's Dragon Sausage Party did really well and ended up going up for awards and everything. Kubo and the Two Strings did not do well, but was very well respected. Let's see. Don't Breathe. Yoga Hosers. A horrible movie, but like fun horrible. Which Snowden Storks. Storks didn't do all that great. Anything I'm missing here? Doctor Strange was a big one. Trolls did okay. Moana. Have either of you guys seen that?
No.
Okay. Ally. That's in a 2. Arrival.
Want to see that.
Did really well. And then we've still got Rogue One, Assassin's Creed, Passengers. I desperately want to see Passengers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Really want to see that one.
Yep. It looks really good.
Why Him doesn't look too bad. Yeah, but those are the big ones. I mean, Deadpool, I think, really was the big surprise hit of the year.
Oh, definitely. I mean, that was a breakout hit. It was something that was unexpected.
Yeah. That and Zootopia. And I think Batman versus Superman was one of the big surprises of the year, too, only not in the right way.
It was a surprise in box office, that's for sure.
Yeah, it did okay in box office. But it also dropped quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It dropped really quickly.
But everything drops quickly these days.
It dropped disproportionately. You're right, Lou. That's true. But it dropped faster than its peers. It dropped more than the half-life, the 50%. It was a big drop. It was not well received at all. But yeah, so that's 2016 in a nutshell, I guess.
Here's to 2017.
Yeah, I tell you, we've got some decent stuff on the movie draft. I mean, aside from Rogue One's technically still 2016, but I am hopeful for Triple X as just a good popcorn movie.
Yep, looks good.
The Space Between Us looks like it could be a good drama, or it could be really lame. I don't know. Lego Batman movie is going to be massive. John Wick Chapter 2. Logan.
Trailer looks awesome for that.
Yeah, it does. Logan, Kong Skull Island. Life looks like it's probably pretty good. And given who's in Life, I think that, I mean, you've got people here who make good choices with films, except Ryan Reynolds. I mean, Deadpool's good, but man, Reynolds has picked some stinkers.
Yeah.
But he's picked some really good ones, too, especially independent films. Buried was just, crazy good. The Nines was kind of a trippy independent film, but it was really good. So say what you will about things like Green Lantern. Reynolds has done some pretty good unknown films, too. But yeah, Life, I've got high hopes for. Ghost in the Shell. And then there's a lot coming out later in the year, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Well, the rest of 2016 for the Random Chatter Network, we're going to go on hiatus for the holidays. There will not be anything at least from Christmas through New Year's. And in between now and then, the schedule might be a little weird. And part of that is due to Rogue One. So, not our fault. They did not check with us when they chose a release date. Again.
I know, damn them.
Man, the reviews on that are looking good. I can't wait. All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode of Random Chatter. I think we're going to have probably one more episode in 2016, and then we'll see everybody on the flip side in 2017. And we'll probably do a year-end preview sort of episode. We'll cover movies a little bit, maybe some television, maybe some books, some video games. We'll try to cover the whole media, the whole arena there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. So in the meantime, send us some feedback. Shoot us an email, randomchatter@randomchatter.com. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know your thoughts on any of the stuff we discussed. the movie tickets thing, what would you do? Would you go for this rental thing, or is that just not something that appeals to you at all? What do you think? Follow us on Twitter. Random Chatter is the address, not just for this show, but for the entire network. You can find me at Eric Blythe. That's E-R-I-K-B-L-Y-T-H-E. Chris, where can we find you?
I'm at The Curse of Chris.
All right. And Lou?
Lou Secchi, L-O-U-S-E-C-K-I.
All right. And you can find all of our shows over at randomchatter.com. Lots of great shows there. Some new ones coming up. I know there have been some feed issues recently, and not so much that they're broken, but that there are some that are missing. We're going to have that resolved for you pretty quickly here. Let's see. What else do we need to cover? Patreon. Thank you to everybody who has been who's stuck with us throughout the year, especially earlier in 2016 with the departure from the Force Cast and kind of the relaunch of the Random Chatter Network. We're still in our first year here from the relaunch. Most of the growing pains are out of the way, thank goodness. And a lot of our Patreon donors have stuck with us through thick and thin. We really appreciate that. We're happy the Slack channel is going really well. Channel. There are multiple channels. The Slack community is going really well. If you'd like to participate in that, head over to patreon.com/randomchatter for more information. Last chance, guys. Anything else on the way out?
I think I'm good.
I think I'm good, too.
All right. Now, Lou, I don't know how long you're supposed to let the cats cook in the oven, but you might want to go check on it.
Oh, please.
Yeah, I know. We've run a little long. I don't want them to get overcooked, because then they get all, like, dry and stringy. The meat's just, ugh. You got to taste like it chicken. In something. If you cook it right, it does. All right, the music you hear in this podcast is The Perfect Heist by Blue Stolly. And the Silliest Sentence Sounds, all trademarks are owned by their respective owners. Until next time, take care, everybody.